Hey there, shopping maniacs. You're listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show. Look what I could do. Toggle lights. Oh, is it going? It's not going to do it.
Was it your voice that did it, or did you click something?
I have a button on my little Stream Deck, and apparently that doesn't friggin' work because Elgato software sucks. But then
your Elgato Stream Deck has a button for your Elgato lights, and they don't talk to each other.
Yeah, it's not working right now. Why? Good question, Chris. Who knows? But I put my computer in a safe this week, and because I went on vacation. Yay, vacation!
Right, and your vacation house had a little safe in it, and it was like a physical barrier for you.
Or I put it in my house safe, and I left the house. No computer. It was great.
But you were in a different state as your computer was in?
Yeah. I took my personal one just because, like, I like to tinker and. Yeah, it's like, anyway, I took my personal one just because it gives me some time to tinker. But my work computer, put it in a safe, dude, come back. I'm having nothing but problems. Like we just spent 10 minutes fixing my camera. Bing quit working, but it was because, like, my cookie for my, like, secure access got, you know, like, died or whatever. expired, you know, and so it's just this, it's like, I'm having just the weirdest, like, you know, like, set of, like...
Weird bit rot for 1 week.
For 1 week. Rough. Yeah, 1 week. Yeah. And, like, all of a sudden just stuff quits working. And, like, you know, like... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm having... It's wild. But, anyway, that's what I'm dealing with, Chris. So, that's my life right now.
Yeah. It's just the... It's like the version of shaking the dust off the... I don't know. The welcome mat at your cottage. On the lake.
Yeah. Goosh, yeah. Goosh, goosh.
No, it's like, it feels like that. But I just, it, like, 1 week. We're not talking like, I wasn't like gone for.
That's true. You weren't gone for the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. In which case, you're like, just try an NPM install. I dare you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. I mean, it's so weird what's broken right now. But anyway, I'm finding out.
I tried to upgrade to TypeScript 7 just because it's like, it's out. It's the Go one, which I like applaud. Like, good job, team. What a good idea. But we use Yarn, which I feel like is talked down to recently. Like, people talk about Yarn. They're like, oh, Yarn's just that old one that had good ideas, but people don't use it anymore. I'm like, Yarn is still cool. So whatever, people, you know.
Stop making fun of Yarn. No.
Yeah, totally.
We have a project on Yarn. It's maybe my least favorite, I'll be honest. But but Toa, you were going to say, though. Like, is it just breaking?
Just that, no? Like, it handles mono repos pretty good. And if you like the PMPM behavior, you can just, like, have it do that if you want. You know, like, I think that's neat. And it has, I don't know, it's just, it's fine, right? It's not, I don't think Yarn is some, like, second-class citizen or whatever. Although, what I'm about to say makes it feel like it, because it was like, there's some exotic bug that you know, TypeScript, that was a fairly big change for TypeScript, having a Go compiler is, like, pretty different. And some files got moved around or something, and it makes, like, a Yarn, even a pretty recent Yarn, like, in the last year-ish or so, not work. And all you got to do is upgrade Yarn and it's fine. But I just wasn't in the upgrading your something like Yarn is like, I'm just nervous as to what can happen, because that's your CI too. And, like, I don't know, it's just not like a PR that I'm, like, super excited to do ever, let alone right now, which is, as we're talking, we launched CodePen 2.0, which is pretty exciting for us, which involved, you know, shipping a bunch of PRs. We had, like, a stack of PRs, not a literal stack, because I think that's a feature of GitHub now that I applied for but don't have access for. I don't really totally fully understand what a stack of PRs is, but that's, like, a thing. It's like a feature now.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Ours were just a bunch of PRs, and we labeled them all launch PR colon and then what it does. And there is a lot of them, and they needed to kind of all go in and all make sure that they're happy. And then we deployed, you know, six chunks of them all at once. And then, of course, it goes out and we're like, oh, here's another thing to fix. Oh, here's a URL that needs to change. Here's, you know, like, so we're, that's the mode we're in right now, but largely going great, you know?
I maybe have a bug for you. Your
just, let's do it. I can't
your
wait.
Your launch modal links to 0708 2.0, and I think the URL.
That PR is on the way out right now, Dave. Okay, so relax. It doesn't 404. Does it 404?
Yeah, 404 is hard.
Oh, come on, WordPress. It's like a couple of days wrong in the URL, and I put a little to-do to change it, which I just did. But it's like you can't figure out what I'm trying to link to WordPress. Okay,
I thought WordPress like did that automatically. Anyway, that's
yeah, especially because the original URL was one that it generated. You know, I just happened to start writing it a few weeks ago, and then it got that and what you know what I mean.
Right, right. Published as that.
Just make sure that it's on the way out. Ooh, that's embarrassing. Though I bet a bunch of people are going to click that.
Well, I got you in the minutes, dude. I'm QA-atron 5000 right now, and it's great. Mm-hmm.
Do you see the new homepage? Like that's like the coolest part, maybe.
Do I have to be logged in or logged out?
If you're logged out, you'll see it at the homepage, or anybody can just go to /2, and then we just put it there too, in case you want to see it while you're logged in.
Oh, we got big old swirlies going. That's fun. I like it. Cool.
I like the swirlies. The swirlies is the best part.
Fun. Yeah. No, man, this is cool. Congratulations. I know y'all.
We haven't changed our homepage in like a while, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it feels kind of good to talk about the new capabilities and stuff and make it kind of like fun and modern and stuff.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, it sounds wild, but it's like I feel like it's a project that has really matured over the years, you know? So, and this, you know, pin.new goes to 2, but anyway, the new editors really,
that was one of the PRs
upgrade thing. Experience. So, really?
That was one of the PRs goes to 2 now, which is, you know, going to be, it's like the kind of thing that I brace myself for a little bit because people like have muscle memory for that kind of thing and it does a certain thing and we're changing it. But this is what launch is, you know, even though the classic editor still exists, you can just go to codepen.io/pen. If you want to use that, you can. That's fine. I'm not going to mess with you.
Right.
Someday in the future, it probably will get all converted because the new editor really is backwards compatible with it.
Yeah.
So we're like a technical debt slaying kind of company, as you know. Mm-hmm. So we will do that eventually, but not today and not anytime super soon. So chill and you can use that. But launch does mean like we are going to push people to use the new editor because that's the deal.
That's what you spent your time building. No, it's cool. Well, and you know, it's maybe a not so secret. You can like customize the new editor to feel like the old editor too. Like you can like hide minimal.
Yeah, we put that. It's going to be in the launch email later today. It's in the blog post and stuff. I didn't want to dwell too much on the like, did you like it the way it was? Because you can have that, you know, because well, you know, that doesn't like show a bunch of confidence in the new product. But I am confident in the new product. It's just like mostly, it almost shows off that the new editor is like more capable.
Yeah.
Because here's what you do to get the old editor just exactly how you want it. First of all, you can put the editors on the top or the right or wherever you think, the same places you could put them in the editor. Then you can just press Command U or just look for minimal UI, which has a physical toggle in one of the dropdowns, and it's in the omnibar, which is the like Command K or like Command P thing that comes up that has every command that the thing can do. Look for minimal UI in there and flip it on. And that it like gets rid of some of the panels and stuff that are new. And then you're just looking at the three editors in the preview, just like the old editor, right?
Yeah.
And then there's this thing called the classic block. The thing with the new editor is that it doesn't do the magical, like you just write the HTML that's in the body and we inject it into a complete document for you. The new editor takes this lead, and this was like, and you know, I remember these conversations. They're long past now, but it's like, that's a big change. Because, you know, I don't know. It's just some people really like that you can just type div, and that's like what you're looking at. You don't have to look at a doc type and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like times have changed a little bit. We see a ton of people just pasting in complete HTML documents, even into the old editor or whatever, which now you have a doc type within your body. you know, mm-hmm. it's like a problem. It's like you're getting this really malformed garbage HTML document. There's kind of ways around that, but I don't want to be like parsing and regexing our way through your weird behavior. You know, it's more developer forward to just show the HTML document. Then it's like, you need to put something in the head, put it in the head. You want to control mm-hmm. where the script gets loaded, put the script where you want it. Like, it has all the control that a real developer would want, which we're trying to move into a market of like, this is a real editor for real developers, and you have the control that you need to have.
Yeah. That being kind of said, demystifies it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like less demystifies magic. What? Yeah.
So that's the deal. But do you like that old behavior? Do you like that what you type is just in the body? You can just turn that on. If you yeah. like that, just use the classic block. And this is just a little something to know about the editors. A lot of the stuff, not all of it, but when it can be, it's nice, is powered by file extensions. Mm-hmm. So, like, I made a new block. I just even put it out last week. .mjml. Have you ever used mjml? It's a great little language that they have their own angle bracket tags. It almost looks like you're using custom components, but it runs through a compiler. The email one.
Yeah.
So you make an MJML file, we just be like, oh, I see what you mean. I'll just process that with MJML for you and into HTML. That's like the spirit of the new editors. It's just like, oh, I get what you're trying to do. I'll just do it for you.
Yeah, that's great. I was actually going to ask, like, when the next new blocks are coming, you know? Like,
well, there's a bunch of new blocks, but there's going to be a lot more now that we can focus on it. But like Tailwind is new. You just, in mm-hmm. any CSS file, you say import Tailwind CSS, and now it's processed by Tailwind and it's doing all the Tailwind magic. That's new. The view situation is new because it's like, now it's, you know, we used to have a view editor that was like one component, and it like processed by rollup and injected itself into the HTML. And like, that's what you got for .view files. Mm-hmm. Now just make a .view file. We'll add Vite to your pen. We'll process it all through Vite, and like, it's a proper view setup, you know?
Yeah, that's I like that. Like, rather than like a configuration based thing, because, you know, like a lot of old CodePen, you know, it's like open up that modal and configure what JavaScript, what CSS reset. You still have like that stuff, but like,
yeah,
you we do. Like, but were you to try to go down this path all the way, you'd be like a lot of configuration, you know, where,
yeah,
you know, it's like if you like when you open VS Code config and it's like 10,000 lines of JSON, like
it's a lot of configuration, and but without the configurability, which is a weird thing to say, but it was like, okay, you picked TypeScript from a drop down menu in the old editor, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you couldn't, there's no TS config file, so you're like, mm-hmm. okay, well, what, how can I control this? And it was like, whoa, you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
So now we process TypeScript, but it just puts a TS config there, and you have all the control over TypeScript that you would normally have and want. That's like a big deal to me. That's like reality. That's what a big boy developer would want to see in an editor, you know?
Well, and sometimes when you're debugging, like, because I use CodePen a lot for debugging, it's like sometimes it is a TypeScript config issue, you know? Or like,
yeah, it could
like,
be.
Oh, you had this whatever flag turned on, psych, or ES2020, here's the deal, you know? Or,
yep.
Like those, yeah, little,
just paste yours in then.
Yeah, know. Just paste my config in and be like, in like mm-hmm. a sample file and figure out what's happening, you know, like.
Yep, yep. And now it makes TSX work too. If that's how you want to roll, you just use that file extension and we'll deal with it for you. Lightning CSS is in there, which is kind of cool. Just, it has a really nice minifier, and it does that like down sampling stuff. So you don't, for meaning it's a little bit auto prefixer like ish, you know, mm-hmm. You can use auto prefixer too, though, if you want.
Go ahead. I pay money to never implement something like an MDX? I don't think MDX should exist. So can I pay to block?
Why is it so complicated? It's Markdown with components in it, and it's the most complicated thing ever.
And so, psych, your computer doesn't work anymore. So, yeah.
I can't promise that, but I don't see it as a one-off processor, because it's confusing, because it's like the prereqs are like, well, but you're using it because you're using it in a React website, right? Pretty much, for sure, right? So, like, it'd be like an add-on to something else. it wouldn't just be alone. You see, now the easiest blocks in which we probably will start with as many of those as we can are the ones that just are one to one.
Right. Like a one
because
CLI
they take like 2 seconds
almost.
To make.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the harder ones are like the Vite block is relatively complicated for us because it's, first of all, the configuration for it is we did a lot of work with the config files for blocks that they all have a schema and we validate the config to make sure you're doing it right and giving you yellow squiggles and stuff when you didn't do it right. Mm-hmm. And, you can't do that with Vite because the config is JavaScript, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it needs to be JavaScript because it does fancy crap, like you glob stuff and all that. You know, like you can't do that in JSON.
Vite's one of those things, too, where it's like, it's such a, it's kind of a black box. It's very, like, extensible. And I think, you know, people just start piling plugins into it, you know? And then you're like, you didn't realize how that worked, right?
That'll be a little disappointing at the moment. We don't have server-side arbitrary NPM usage. So if you try to pull in an NPM dependency in your Vite config file, it is likely to fail. We have some of them in there, but it's not just arbitrary. We have arbitrary client-side NPM via source maps and stuff. That we can talk about that some other time. That's pretty cool. But yeah, we don't have the kind of like, we don't run an NPM install for you. And that part of that is like trade-offs, just classic development stuff. We do that. So it's really fast.
Yeah.
And secure. And it doesn't have a command line. And there's all this stuff, but it does make it kind of limiting. So as we get into like Astro and 11D and stuff, which, you know, we have prototypes for, it's harder because I think the average user of 11D like probably has 10 other NPM things of their choosing on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Some sort of a, SAS.
Even 11D itself has like a pagination plugin or whatever it is. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that could be tough, but yeah, maybe there's just common.
You whitelist some. I mean, that's what PostCSS is doing now is that like PostCSS, as we all know, doesn't do anything. It's all about the plugins you add for it. So we just traditionally have whitelisted a whole heaping pile of ones that are useful and you can use those.
Well, I was going to say, I helped migrate like a, or tried to like, but migrate a Tailwind 3 to 4 and it was like a, you know, they actually switched to like a PostCSS processor, you know?
Yeah, okay.
And there was all these other custom plugins that like now were conflicting and causing, you know, it just turned into this like, whoa, this heavy lift and like even agents and we're like struggling to get out of it, you know? But it was like this very like, oh, okay, cool. I can like, I figured out how to make it all work. But it just kind of like, just goes to show like these tools are like, you know, I always worry about this, but you like can code yourself into a corner with these like build tools, you know, where it's not that easy. It's not just, oh, just upgrade or just, you know, switch. It's like you like have build processes now that are expecting this and die or, you know, part of the application, part A of the application and part B need different build systems, you know, it gets messy. So
yeah, I'm hoping their users experience the least messiness possible with all this. Cause it's like, first of all, you can pick all these blocks out and you are literally writing no config. You can configurize the individual blocks behavior, but not how it all goes together. That's what you just like, don't have to worry about, which I think is a real strength.
Yeah. That's what I like about the blocks is just these little stacky, you know, little jobs that you stack up. We're not doing big old configs. We're not doing these gnarly package JSON commands.
And for now, it's like it'll just feel like, oh, I get it. CodePen allows you to pick some technologies. But I think people will feel it more the more blocks we start to support. You'll be like, oh, wow. Look at all, you can use all that together. That's cool. And that's the hope anyway. Yeah, cool. So you know, like we've been working on this for quite a long time. We had, you know, internal previews, we had an alpha period, we had a private beta period, we had a public beta period and all this stuff. We are not in beta anymore. We weren't even in beta like you know, the last couple of weeks. We pulled that beta tag because it it felt like that was kind of done and gave people access. So like the a launch like today, and people will be listening to this next week, so it'll have been out for a couple of days.
5 days, yeah.
By the time they hear it, yeah. Is more about, like, there's just other stuff that's happening. It's a little bit less like, okay, we're going to give the world access now. That's kind of like already been handled. So it's not a worry that the thing's going to work. Although, of course, there were some scary moments in there of like, oh, we need this type of caching and we need this type of scaling and that type of stuff. That was a little like, okay, better get our ducks in a row there. It's going great, though. So what is release then actually? Well, to some degree, it's a marketing exercise. You know, it's kind of like, okay, now we're going to like send the email that says we're actually live. But it was more than that for us. Like, it is that. So that I haven't even hit the button on that yet. You know, got to once over it one more time and all that. But it's like the new homepage went out with the fun videos and the swirlies and the stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And like the pen.new change went out. And the in-app notification that you saw is cool. That's a whole system that we built recently that's worthy of a discussion. I think that's it's kind of rad. Like we used to use this old tool called App Queues that I thought actually was pretty good, but it was, you know, it's very third party and relatively expensive and all that stuff. We're finally like, we're going to actually build this thing, which is a combination of, I want to do targeting, like users that, you know, have been around for 2+ years, who have made between 5 and 10 pens, who, you know, used to be pro but aren't pro anymore and blah, blah, blah. Show them this. And we decided to like this part would be arbitrary. It's not like show this modal, which is kind of what AppQueues was. They had like a couple of handful of things that they could show. Yeah. But this is like, whatever, just render this component, and the component can be a slide out or a modal or a little red dot or a, you know, it just could be anything. And then it registers that people have seen it. And then if they whisk it away, they close it, then we'll mark it as closed so that the logic can be like, don't show that again to them. But that's a pretty cool system. So that one you're seeing is now part of that system, which is relatively new for us, but I think does represent like, you know, a grown-up app system's ability to do marketing internally. Because sometimes it's like, well, we can send an email, we can send a tweet or a blue sky message about our new stuff, and that stuff is like less and less effective. What's actually effective is like, can you tell somebody who's right there in your app about your thing? That's always going to be kind of like the most effective way of doing it. So I'm glad we have that.
All that stuff, that sort of customer engagement, is really bespoke, right? Like, and so if you're just limited there, or, you know, you don't, I don't know, sometimes you need like a big thing or a little thing or a, you know.
Here's a little one we did, Dave. We can see the referrer URL when you sign up for CodePen. And there's a good amount of people that come from ChatGPT.com or Claude.ai or whatever. You can just see, oh, these people were directly referred to CodePen from an AI agent thingy. And often, if you look at their work or what they're producing publicly, it's like a website. They're trying to like make a little website, you know? So I have a notification that's already in there that's like, if they're from an AI referrer and they've made a 2.0 pen that's website-like, that they get one of these little notifications that reminds them that we have a deployment feature.
Yeah.
How that works in 2.0. That's a whole thing in 2.0. Is any pen, you just hit a button and deploy it. And then you can map your DNS to it too, if you want to like use us as hosting, which it's my literally favorite feature of the new 2.0 thing. It reminds those people of that because it's probably what they're trying to do anyway, but it's not telling you that, Dave, because I don't want to like constantly show notifications to every user. I want to have a little like targeting and discretion about what we're doing there.
Segment logic.
Yeah. If nothing else, just to track its effectiveness and then like update the segment or whatever and not bug people. You'll never see more than one notification, for example, that type of thing.
Well, and that would be like a pretty easy thing to track. You know, it's like you know, just a chart of num refers from ChatGPT over time, and then num deployments, you know, like, does that, yeah, you know, like, does that line go up?
And it is this type of thing that even AI helps with, because you can just be like, just do that quick and give me a little admin screen for it or whatever, rather than before it's like, oh, do we need a new API for that and a new page? And do we need new, I don't know. It's just, there was a lot more like hemming and hawing and thinking about it. Whereas you're like,
yeah,
for admin crap, you're like, just do it.
Yeah. Just write an SQL query, raw SQL or whatever. Yeah. Postgres for like, yeah, like, if referrer equals chat GPT, or for each deploy or whatever, select star from deploys where referrer user.referrer equals chat GPT. So
there's all kinds of stuff. But then we did a special podcast, and that will go out on the day. And now we can organize our social media around it a little bit. And Stephen and David are going to do a keyframers thing, cool, which is fun. And the challenges this month are all based on 2.0 and like getting to know the new editor, and then some, you know, then just various UI changes throughout the app that just point more towards 2.0 instead of the classic editor. And like, even this show, like, hey, here I am talking about it. So all together as a ball, launch really is a launch. There's a lot going on, you know?
Yeah. No, pretty, I mean, cool. I think CodePen 2.0 is here. That's exciting, man. You've been working on it a long time, and I think it's cool. It's great. If it was like iffy, I would be worried about y'all, but it's like great. You know, if it was like a oh gosh, you really experimental, huh? You know, it'd be like, but it just feels like a really solid upgrade, you know. I've always said y'all are amazing at just paying down debt and rethinking things and doing all that. So
It feels very, thank you, Dave. That's nice to hear. And it feels like now we can kind of move on to the stuff that we wanted to do there, which is a lot of blocks and adding functionality and stuff and AI, obviously. So we need to like get on that, especially from a coding perspective, and doing it how we would do it is actually quite exciting to me. And like, it's like almost weird that we don't have anything almost at this point. You can use it in various ways, but we're not helping you do that. And I'm excited to work on that. It's just, we're like, can we get it out first?
Yeah.
Yes, it is out. Yeah. I have a few interesting things from the web world to bring up with you that I bet you're going to be interested and opinionated about, but I think we can do a brief sponsor spot here. With the recent launch of custom agents, Notion, which we use here at Chop Talk Show, became the collaborative AI workspace where teams and agents work side by side. Now their developer platform, this is new, the developer platform, it's pretty cool, also has a super cool homepage, is turning the workspace into infrastructure developers can build on, which is very true. I've described it as this like two-way thing that I think is really fascinating in today's like world of building stuff. If you use Notion, you probably know there's like, you have just like a bunch of content in there, you know, like you got, I don't know, you got your meeting notes and your tickets for planning stuff and whatever. Like there's, I don't know, you can use it in so many different ways. Like to describe all the stuff we have in there is wild. Like we were just like doing thumbnail YouTube analysis for this show, and we're like, just sitting in Notion just because like it's a good place to put a document or whatever.
Yeah,
well, that's the kind of thing that it's like, if you, Notion has these agents that live inside them, which can feel intimidating, like I don't know how to build an agent, I'm not like a genius or something, but the way that you build them in Notion is by just typing in a prompt of how you want that Notion, that agent to work, and it's so magical, it just makes it work. So if you're already kind of like AI pilled in a way, and like your brain thinks in that way, you're probably all over this, like make me an agent that does this, and then, you know, and then it gives you some stuff, it's like when do you want it to run and stuff. There's some pretty like hardline stuff that you can just change via drop down menus and stuff after you've made your agent. Pretty cool. And then if you're not particularly AI pilled, this is like an opportunity to like play with that a little bit, as I think they make it a little easier. Like I'm not seeing a lot of other apps that are like, make your own agent just by typing out what you want. Like that's pretty satisfying, and you could use Notion to try that. Kind of cool. So I've done it a number of times now. And then the developer platform is like, dude, you can like write cloud functions and have them executed too. It's like very programmatic, not as, you know, I don't know, wishy-washy as just describing what you want an agent to do. But once that agent is created, it'll like have an ID, and that cloud function can be like, go tell that agent to do its job. So it's, that's what I mean by both sides. It's like this, you know, LLM fancy agent, who knows what it's going to do kind of magic, which is, can be very powerful and great. And the like hardcore programmatic, like on Monday at 2 o'clock, tell that agent to do its thing. And it like will do that.
Pretty cool. Man, that seems like, I don't know. We use Notion as like the internal tool, you know, at Luro. And yeah, I mean, you know, we always had these needs like to write a dashboardy kind of thing, like you were just talking about, you know, and it seems like all this developer platform stuff would kind of hook into that. You know, you just be like, go hit the worker every Monday and get all the user signups.
And like they host it. You don't have to like run it on Cloudflare or something. They just do it for you.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So what I like is what you need to like almost self-analyze. Do you find yourself doing a particular task every day or once a week or once a month or something? Like when you're in those moments, stop and be like, I wonder if I could make a computer do this for me instead. Like our show calendar. Can you like, can this agent make sure that it's always at least 10 shows ahead? So I'm not in there like clicking the add week button, you know, like just make sure our calendar like has the calendar scaffolded out ahead of time. Just do it, please. You know? All right. So learn more about Notion's developer platform today at notion.com/shoptalk. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/shoptalk, to try Notion's developer platform today. And when you use our link, you're supporting the show, quite literally, notion.com/shoptalk.
Hey. Hey, thank you for supporting the show.
All right. The thing that I was going to ask you about, though, is this like what if templating, which I know is a big, weird, wide world, was a web platform thing. And by templating, I mean, back in the day, we would think of it as something like handlebars or whatever. Like you have this chunk of code and you want to smoosh some data into it. So it says H1, curly bracket, blog post title, curly bracket. So you ship it some data and you get back HTML that has that data in it. Like that's not a thing in web standards. It's a thing in PHP and Ruby ERB templates and a million other things. And modern technology, like it's sure as heck in JSX and in .vue files and in your .svelte files. And they all have a little bit different take on what is it like to like mix in data with HTML. And then more than just data, also like loops and logic gates and click handlers and all that stuff. You want to smoosh all that stuff together with an HTML template. And obviously web components have that too, with, you know, the backticks thing or the template element or all that. Everybody's doing it differently. We have through since the beginning of time on the web. And it seems like it's starting to be like, maybe the web should have an opinion about this. Is that true?
Yeah. Justin Fignani, who's been on the show. He had this DOM.
He does seem to be at the front of it, kind of.
Well, yeah. I mean, he worked on Polymer and when it was like HTML, and then they kind of saw the writing on the wall for like HTML imports, RIP, Mozilla killed them. They're murderers. They kill the HTML imports. And so they kind of pivoted to lit HTML, which was really just this. It's the tag template literal to like make HTML templates. Right. And so you like, you know, you have like $ curly braces because it's a tag template literal. You can have expressions inside of that. Right. And then it passes.
Remember how, you know, in tag template literals, you can use JavaScript variables inside of it. It's just some of the magic that we already have in.
Yeah. And it's like the local this, basically, right? A scope, you know. Fast has its own, has its own function, I guess, of HTML.
Right. Just adds more fanciness to it.
Yeah. It's got the second parameter, actually a third one, but like it's like the the current state, the like scope state, like the parent, you know, context, right? So it's like the current context, the parent context, and that has this new like event, like a object. And so like, so it's like, on that thread you put in the show notes, you have it linked up, but, my coworker Jane Chu actually is on the bottom. Jane's great, good people. But talking kind of about like how we've approached templating and fast, you know, we're pretty similar, like compatible with lit, you know. I'd say like if you're using lit and you switch to fast, you wouldn't be like, oh my God, what's happening? You know, it's just a little bit different. I think we're past time. I think it's a big gnarly thing, but I think
what would it be? Would it be if the native web did it, would it be like a tag template literal only with a function that is provided by the platform? Or
I think it needs to either be, you know, something like mustache, you know, like curly braces, and we, you know, or like elements or something like a, you know.
And then, but some of those, I remember, had strong philosophies. It was mustache or handlebars. One of them was like, it's logicless. They said that they won't let you do
logic. Yeah, I think that was mustache, and handlebars added logic, you know. The scope there quickly blows up because you do a for loop and then people are like, well, I want an index on my for loop, you know, and I need to know if it's the first one and the last one, you know, I need comparators, right, you know, inside the for loop, and you know, that all makes sense too. So like that starts getting, but I think if you had echoing variables from, let's say, signals, TC39, you had for loops and if statements and maybe an else statement, you know, but you can also just do if not the condition, right? But like, and all of it's hooked up through like TC39 signals, I think you get a lot of mileage, man. So mm-hmm. I think like, are we good? That's what I feel like. Are we good? Like, what else do we need? You know, like.
Right. But let's say we got this, just how you described it. What are we really buying? Does it mean that like lit and fast are both going to use it internally, which means, I don't know, it's like better or like.
Yeah, I think like JSX could go away. Like, so you lose all the overhead of DOM, React DOM, like hundreds of kilobytes instantly. If you can get rid of JSX, that's probably controversial. No one wants to get rid of JSX.
Yeah, but like loops, logic, and echoing variables isn't that most of JSX? I mean,
most of it. Yeah, I guess event binding would be kind of the last bit, but
I would assume event binding isn't that bad in HTML already.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that, you know, if we had those pieces, like you could get rid of a lot of stuff, a lot of, you know, even the, like the compilation stuff that all of, you know, what is it, runes or whatever in.
Oh, it just doesn't have to compile?
It just wouldn't have to, right? It would never have to. Ooh,
that's nice.
So like, you know, you're like login, right? Like I always go to the avatar, right? Like you have a sign up, login. I click login, and then that little sign up, login, you know, button set becomes my user icon. And if I'm logged in, right? And you know, if I have the state, then that component hydrates. And like, you could just have that without any sort of JavaScript framework hooked into there. You could just have that in HTML, you know?
So is the trouble that this is like, we're never going to get everybody to agree on all these things, or the trade-offs are hard, or I'm like, imagine how Vue has V4 as an attribute on the thing that you're looping over is super different way of handling a loop than JSX is like, do a map.
Right. Yeah. But then the map gets all weird, right? But
anyway. So who wins? Does an attribute win?
I mean, maybe even like Justin's thing is actually like maybe more like to, he's not even proposing HTML at this point. He's just proposing, you know, JavaScript, you know, but, yeah, I don't know what would happen. I mean, I think like with the right primitives, you could build whichever version, if that makes sense. Like you could have a VIF component that just internally called the, you know, or echoed out or whatever, like represented.
Oh yeah, that's some big brain stuff.
You know, so you know the logic already exists. You could just be offloading it somewhere. You know, so that would be my thought. Is like I just you know I think you know I Justin's proposal is very much lit HTML in the browser, and I think it's a good straw man, if that makes sense. I think it's a good line in the sand to be like, what's wrong with this? You know, and I think he's got a lot of experience here through running Lit. I think he's got, you know, so I think like it's very useful. Or I think it's very battle tested, I guess I'd say, you know,
I'm down for it. I'm just like rooting for it, even though I don't really know what to say. You know, like if there was like a syntax proposal, I could see getting in on that. But at the moment, it's like, yeah, sounds like a good idea. Do it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it would be great if people were, you know, hyped about it. You know, I think like, you know, I think it's kind of like a, it'll take time, I think, for this to ever be accepted. But, you know, maybe a browser is, like, interested in prototyping it. I don't know if that's even happening or what, but, you know.
I don't know. Yeah, it seemed like it had a little momentum period, and now we're talking to it on a cool period again. So,
yeah. Whoops. Well, this is Keith Circle from Mozilla, like, bringing this up. This is his Web Frameworks community group is, like, Keith's new kind of... I think he's trying to specific like how OpenAI kind of engages or OpenUI, engages like, you know, design systems or UI authors, right? This Web Frameworks community group is trying to interface very specifically with framework authors and kind of help them offload things to the platform. And so I think they're kind of, they meet monthly. They're kind of trying to, I don't know like what the status is. I'm confused. Oh, it's just in discussions. It looks like, yeah, they don't have too many, or maybe they've closed a bunch. they don't have many discussions going, but I know like in the Discord and stuff, there's stuff going on. So,
well, it's probably quite fragmented, all the discussions about my next thing that I wanted to ask about is because somebody tagged me. Sorry, I forgot. I should be crediting people correctly, but that Chrome was interested in an R prototyping declarative partial updates, which is a fancy way to say HTML includes, but HTML includes like not the kind that Dave's still mad about. Like the kind that is literally just like, take this piece of HTML and put it in this other piece of HTML arbitrarily-ish. I didn't read every bit of this because I think it's probably like just like a little bit more complicated than that. But it does use the template element and it does use a source attribute on that, which is a little bit to me is like, go get this HTML and put it here. Which I think is pretty freaking cool. And you can do it a little out of order-y and stuff. And I don't know. I don't know all the details on it, but that's what I, you know, been trying to like beat that drum for a long time, that it's absolutely amazing to me how many different technologies exist just to do this one thing for people. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird that web standards has been like, you know, despite them being like, just pave the cow paths and we'll get to it kind of thing, which is true a lot of times.
Yeah.
But not on this classic thing of like, I have a 3-page website and I want the footer to be the same on all three. That's like web 101 stuff. And to have like basically no answer to that. And I shouldn't say no answer because, you know, yes, there's web components and there's just put the same HTML on those pages. You know, it's not like there's nothing, but there's nothing that's just like an obvious, keep it dry, requires no other technology. It's just really simple. So this might be that. What do you think?
Well, you had me at HTML includes. This is, this has gone through a lot of updates, right? And so there's kind of like three or four parts to it. There's adding a four attribute to the template, right? And so template four, and it's like an ID, right? Or a named ident in HTML or something. But, and then like, I think like a good example here they have is like section ID comments, right? And then you have this open bracket question mark. So it's not like an HTML element.
It looks like PHP.
Looks like PHP, literally. Yeah. And it's like start. And then name comments patch loading. Dot, right. Dot, dot, and then end.
Kind of saying this is the streaming target. Like when HTML starts coming in for this, put it here, right?
Yep. It's just like, it's like a placeholder element or pseudo element, or I don't even know what you call it. Ghost element slot.
Yeah. It's weird. Slot. But it looks like it probably will render. Because it has this like loading dot 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 in it, meaning like
So it'll render what the like backup is, right? And so and then you can also do like just question mark marker equals name, and then that's but like if you want something to show like you do the start. I think.
Dude, what a wild syntax! There's no way that lives to the end, does it?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of actually like cool if they did it that way. Like,
it is weird.
It's just like, I don't care what this is. It's question mark.
And an old browser will just render it like a span, which is what you want, I think.
Which is what you want. I think it's, it might stay that way. I don't know. But I think it's cool. And then, like, and then down lower on the page, you can have a template element with like, and I'm seeing that template source thing you were talking about, which is basically HTML includes, or you could just have a template in there. Like, let's say you, instead of having a bunch of template elements linked up, your preprocessor, your Levity goes and fetches all those templates you linked up on localhost and like puts them in the final compile.
Yeah, which
right?
gives the, yeah, so, I mean, like if you're going to do that, why don't you just put the HTML up at the top where it should be? But it's because now you can control the loading order. Like if it's a whole lot of HTML, loading it at the bottom might be good.
Yeah, yeah. You have kind of like out of order rendering, you know, like if you wanted to do your
right. So the next thing will be like, what about the performance of all that? Which leads to this next thing. Like let's say it does... Mm-hmm. It's weird to have to think about the network at the HTML level a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think there's been some pushback on that specifically, or not pushback, but just kind of like, this isn't going to be as cool as you want it to be. I saw this thread from Nathan Noller, who is just very clear about this. Like and I think he's like talking directly to me in a way. Like, you think this is cool, but it isn't actually. But I don't know that that's true. It basically like you have this template tag with the source on it. The HTML parser comes to this and it's like, oh, I need to make another HTML request, an HTTP request to go get that file. And then now I have it. Now I can do something with it. That can fail. That can fail in the same way that fetching a JavaScript file can fail. That can fail in the same way fetching any other resource can fail. So what happens if it fails? Well, it's not like they don't have any plan for that. You can see that there's a ghost element rendering and all that stuff. But it's like, A, is that even very efficient thing to do? And B, like, why introduce this extra failure mode? Like, which does kind of seem like that's probably why the web platform never dealt with it, because it just seems like a not very great way of doing things and just adding a lot more opportunity for failure.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, I guess my answer is like, I don't care. It solves a little bit of a problem. You don't have to use it if you don't want. You can still pre-process it away if you don't want. And like, I also think the most controversial thing I'm about to say is like, if your web server is having trouble spitting out a couple of HTML files, you're dinked anyway. Like this website's not going to go good.
Right, right. Like if request 2 failed,
Yeah, exactly. Like,
did we? Yeah, what happened? Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, I'm on the, I want a buildless future, and I've tasted it with web components, and I believe in that. I will spend the rest of my career working hard so that you never have to use build tools ever again. And I can promise you that. Like, I will complain the hardest on Blue Sky.
Yeah, I like that. Despite your friend over here making a build process machine for a living, kind of, I don't actually want you to necessarily have to do that. Like, I still think websites that have the very simplest or no build process are pretty darn cool. And you can do that too. You know, I thought Brad is always so good at marketing. He called it like kind of raw dogging websites. And I was like, hell yeah, dude, let's raw dog some websites.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I just think like, I, cause right now, CodePen aside, like you have to be like an expert at like command line crap to like build a website of a significant size. And I'm throwing that in there because people will be like, you can always build a website, you know, like you can just put an HTML file up. And that's true, totally. But I'm saying like of a significant size, right? If we had more better primitives, like we wouldn't have to invent our own ways. So like your code for your WordPress blog, instead of being a bunch of PHP templates, it could be HTML. And then you could pick that up and you could put it in your React app. And you could pick that up and put it in your Rails app. Like, we have, you know, we need, like, the HTML language needs primitives for what all the other, like, server technology is doing. And I think that's, like, all I'm asking for from HTML imports. And so I agree with Nathan, though. It's like, if you have, like, if you end up flooding your document with, you know, you're like, go fetch post one dot, you know, micro HTML, post two dot micro HTML, post three dot micro. Yeah, you're going to have a problem. Like, it's not going to be great.
Or well, even JavaScript can do it better because the fetch is a promise. And then if the promise, whatever, resolves in a certain failure way, you can do something else or you can retry or you can, you know, like that's just better, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like you know, maybe we need better rescue mechanisms or something, or you know, or I don't know, like, or service workers kind of come into play here, but did your service worker ever load, you know, like I think like you know I think we are in this like, you know, world of like, if we, you know, most sessions are short sessions, so you want to load as much as you can, but you also don't want to load a 9,000, you know, lines of HTML, right? Like, you want to load as much as you need to render and then pull the other stuff in later. And I think this tool helps do that. And I think, you know, and is it going to have some like problems? Yeah, potentially. Is like, are we going to have the flash of unloaded header? Probably, right? If I suffer a micro flash and then after that it's cached forever, I'm maybe okay, Chris. You know what I mean?
Well, like, it's a trade-off, like, you know? Do it or don't do it, depending on how you like the end result.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not an argument for the primitive to not exist. I like that kind of thinking. Is that like, give us the raw stuff.
Well, and I think that's like, that's where the tooling can get better, you know, or it's just kind of like, hey, I analyzed your site. And if I actually, you know, clone this into the document, we load so much faster, you know, like I found all your top of fold elements. And if we, you know, that you were, you know, template foring or template sourcing in, like I can actually hot link those into the code and like, or I can like compile that into the final document and it goes so much faster. Dude, that's what we need. Like, instead of these like bespoke build chains, you know, like we just have these like, you know, basically HTML includes and the build tools are responsible for stitching out the best result, you know? So that would be my ideal.
Yay.
But
I love it.
I played with this. It is weird though. Like I played with it
You played with it. How?
Yeah, I have a little code pen editor because you can do like multi-file stuff and it's in
there's all you got really? There's a flag for it already?
Yeah, I think it's an experimental just experimental web platform features. But
oh yeah. The flag that does all the things.
Yeah, it's like the biggest flag. And it's like I actually had a problem the other day. I was like it was your thing, the one you called out on your website, the hint or whatever popover thing.
We got in trouble for that because I was like, oh my god, that shipped immediately. But I'm like, oh yeah, it's because I have that freaking flag on that turns everything on in the world. So it looked like it was shipped to me, but it really wasn't shipped
right
totally to stable, you know.
Bramus got very mad at us, but it was that was a mistake. I was just trying to like experiment with the streaming thing, and you know, they're like, I was going out and like grabbing more content, and like doing a fetch thing, but you know, it's really not super different than like, you know, a Go JSON update a div, Go JSON append to a div, you know, but there is this element of like, it is very like, you can do streaming HTML and like you can pipe it into the code. Anyway, there's some interesting pieces to it that I think are different than, you know, there's parts of it that's like more interesting than say something like just a fetch request to go get something else. You can like actually go, you know, read content and stream it into a certain area of your site. And so I think that's interesting. I think we should have this primitive of, you know, it's websites, dude. Stuff shows up from outside and has to be put into a place all the time, you know? So, and we build all these structures around doing that. Let's put a structure in the platform, you know? So.
Yeah, I like that.
Final answer. Yes.
Oh, we did it. I'm glad we got to talk about those things. They've been on my mind a little bit.
Yeah, new little APIs. I think if both of these landed or like win or whatever, I'm going to land them single-handedly. I'm going to build them in WebKit. If these were to land, like HTML looks very different at that point if stuff like this got into the platform. And I think that would be very cool, you know, it maybe add some like issues like security things we have to be concerned about, but you know, and that's very, I don't want to hand wave that stuff, but just very cool. Like it'd be a very cool future to have like, you know, kind of these really fat, like, I don't know, configurable loading. Cause right now the only loading you get is top to bottom. Right. And so, and you can async your styles or like lazy load your styles. You don't want to do that, but you can lazy load your scripts and you want to do that. But like, if we can like now kind of like lazy load bits of HTML, that's pretty killer, you know, without iframes.
Yeah. It's definitely neater than how I thought it was going to go. You know, I thought it would just be like template source done, you know, go get it, put it here. That's it. You know?
Well, I mean like that would be awesome. like template sort, like I would even take that, but like I like the idea of like, cool, I can like just put all those template sources at the bottom, or I could put the critical ones at the top and the lazy ones at the bottom, and then, you know, just like keep like and I can, but I can control where they render. That I think that's the coolest part of it, you know. And I don't know if you think of like a web components or whatever, where you have your templates, your declarative shadow DOM templates, like wouldn't it be cool in a mega future way down the line, like you go just fetch the templates you need for that page and now your components all render, and but it was never in your JavaScript bundle and stuff like that, like it's just HTML stuff, you know.
Yeah,
it could be very cool. So
will be cool when you personally do this work.
I'm gonna do it single-handedly. I'm gonna patch WebKit, rage patch. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Let's push HTML a little bit further. CSS is doing great. JavaScript's a little stalled out, but it moved too fast for a decade. And let's push on HTML, make it really fun. So,
yeah, it feels right, doesn't it? That it's time to shine.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we I think if I could speak plainly, we push JavaScript as far as we want to push. Like, we've done enough Fermian level heresies in JavaScript that we need to start boiling things into the platform, you know, and distilling that knowledge of decades of knowledge into the platform. And let's go. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, man.
All right. See ya. Have a good one. Enjoyed this summer episode of the Shop Talk Show. Be sure to star heart favorite it up if you liked it. And then join us in the Discord, patreon.com/ShopTalkShow. And yeah, Chris, did you have anything else you'd like to say?
No, just the ShopTalkShow.com. Soon to have a partially declared loaded header someday.
Streaming, baby.
We'll do it. We're your first customer. Okay, bye.
Bye.